Well, you know what I did? I downloaded Dolphin on my gaming PC,
Nice.
and I recently just finished replaying through Eternal Darkness
Oh, really?
on
You're an
GameCube.
Eternal Darkness fan.
Oh, it's so good.
No, it's not.
Why isn't that good? It's so
It's
good.
just not.
It's such a great game.
We sat down, myself and my brother sat down to play Eternal Darkness. I don't know, probably like 6 months ago now, because everyone says it's so good, right? That's the thing.
That's
It's
'cause
Eternal
it
Darkness. It's so good, right? We played for I think 3 or 4 hours, and it just sucked. It
Well,
didn't
what
at
about
all
it?
capture the gameplay was clunky, and the whole thing felt convoluted. It wasn't leading to anything. It just felt boring. Like the story did not capture. Like I said, it just felt
I think
convoluted.
you have to love or like Lovecraftian horror, because that's what it is. It's cosmic horror.
Just wasn't going anywhere. Wasn't
No.
going anywhere fast.
Well, that's fair.
And
But I played that game on release. I got it,
oh,
and I
really?
loved it. Yeah.
Was it like a big release? Like, was that something like,
It
oh my
was,
God, Eternal Darkness is coming?
I don't know if it was a launch title. It was pretty close. It came out pretty close after the GameCube was released.
Interesting.
Yeah, but I
Really
love the
interesting.
whole, like, Edgar Allan Poe connections and
Yeah, like
Lovecraftian horror stuff.
after the fact, I watched like a review or explained or whatever, and I was like, I'm glad I didn't play this. So
Yeah,
maybe it is just not for me.
that's fine, but
But I've had the opportunity to buy it and stuff. I'm like, ah, nah, man. Like, nah.
it's scary too. It can be pretty freaky.
Oh,
Like
really?
when your sanity meter starts
Yeah,
dropping.
yeah.
Yeah. It definitely that game maybe creeped me out more than games like Resident Evil.
Wow.
Yeah, because it's more supernatural, right?
Yeah. It just, I don't know. I don't know what I expected out of it, but it was not it. So, no, that's my 5 minute review on Eternal Darkness. Overhyped and overrated. Like, hot takes are coming today.
Well, that's fine. You're wrong,
The hot
but
takes are
that's
coming
fine.
today. Did you download Dolphin just to play that?
Well, that and I downloaded a whole bunch of games that I've been meaning to play. Like just
Give me a couple.
other GameCube games, Luigi's Mansion.
Did you play that like before?
No, actually, I never played
Oh,
it when it
really? You're
first came
fresh.
out.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm really interested actually to hear your review of Luigi's Mansion like now.
Yeah. I think
I'm totally mixed on if it's like a good game or not. I don't know.
I've played about half of it.
Okay.
Yeah, when I still had my GameCube. And I liked it. I thought it was good.
I think it is too, but like I said, I'm really curious to hear like, a grown ass man's review of Luigi's Mansion in 2024.
Yeah.
Like,
Well, I mean, they took it, it's kind of a brand new direction for the Mario franchise, so I applaud their innovative design,
100%, 100%. Like in my head, it's a good game. I just don't know if that's like true. I don't know if I'm just like nostalgia goggles for Luigi's Mansion.
Trying to think back when the GameCube first came out, it was definitely Smash Bros. Like
Oh yeah.
that's what I played in EB Games when they had a kiosk and was completely floored by. So that was like, I want Smash Bros.
Oh yeah, 100%.
That was the
Melee
main
was
reason.
insane.
And I never did play Mario Sunshine when it
Really?
was out.
Have you played it at all?
Yeah, I have.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Luigi's Mansion also. Like, I don't know. I just then I wasn't as interested in the first party stuff, like the Mario stuff.
Well, you were
'Cause
getting a bit older.
I was just like early teens,
Yeah. So, I
probably.
mean, you're more edgy. You're playing Eternal Darkness.
Yeah. I was
Like,
playing Eternal
like
Darkness
for the
and
mature
writing
games.
poetry.
Yeah. Like,
Yeah, actually, when I think of what spurred on my love of poetry, it would have been Eternal Darkness, because there
wow.
was a heavy Edgar Allan Poe connections in there. Yeah, so I remember that got me into
You went down rabbit holes?
yeah, it was cool. I enjoyed poetry back then.
That is crazy.
I mean, I was, I'm a musician, so I was always
Yeah,
interested
you're always on that
in
side of the
arts. Yeah, in
yeah.
the arts. Yeah.
No, that's great. Dolphin's worth having. Like, just,
Oh, for
I
sure.
mean, yeah.
It's you know what it's what's most difficult is using an Xbox controller
Yep.
with Dolphin. So I feel like I should buy like a GameCube USB controller just to make it work better.
Well, you just need the adapter. You have a controller. You just need the like you can use the Smash adapter.
Oh yeah,
Just
that's
like
true.
literally USB plug in your controller and you're good to go.
That's true.
Like you should be using a
You've
GameCube
given me
controller.
a dangerous idea
Yeah,
here.
like you could get an adapter for $15. You can probably buy that
I
third
already
party
have
one.
one. What are you
Oh,
talking
there you
about?
go. Well, you're not using it.
I'm not using it because I don't
Like, my
have.
two options was he's dumb or he doesn't have one. I
Well, you know
chose to go
what?
with you don't have
Me
one.
and my roommate, when I lived in Winnipeg, we used to play Smash all the time.
Okay.
So, we had the Switch set up for Smash,
Yep.
basically. But I haven't played Smash in a long time.
I played Melee. Like I still play Melee almost every, I'd say every month at this point.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, with your brothers.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. If I go over there, it's like, oh, we'll have 20 minutes of Melee.
Yeah. It actually runs pretty well on Dolphin.
Oh, it does. Yeah.
Like, with the upscalers and all that.
Well, you can go into like straight net play now with Melee. Like, yeah. Melee has developed its presence so well that, like, you know, you can do whatever you want with the game.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah. Although I feel like if you go in the net, you're just going to get destroyed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, you're playing people who play.
Yeah.
You know,
that game requires so much of a learning curve.
Yes.
Compared to the others.
Yes. It does kind of MMR and stuff, though. So hopefully you'd get matched up with other people who suck.
But, okay. That's interesting.
Yeah. Like, they have tried to develop ranked mode and, like, you know.
Right. And I've heard, isn't there like a Project something, Project M?
Yep, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Big mod that it uses the Brawl engine, though.
Yes. Yeah. That's what I've heard.
But it's still great. Like, yeah. It's still fantastic. They just released a brand new thing on Project M, too. I think it's like 118 characters total now on that.
Jeez.
So, like, you're running, you know, Melee tech on the Brawl engine with as many characters as Ultimate.
That's cool.
It's great. If you want to go down the, you know, like, it's great.
Yeah.
Going down rabbit holes, pretty cool.
Now that I actually have a PC.
Yeah.
I might have to start looking into this.
it's you know, as we're huge collectors, and it's like, man, I emulate everything still.
Yeah. You know what? It's just so much easier.
It just is.
I mean, I loved having a GameCube, and I mean, I never really used the GameCube console, but I used my Wii. I kept my Wii around just to play my GameCube games.
Me too.
So,
it's better.
Yeah.
But people who buy a GameCube for like $60, $70 and a Wii is like $30, I don't get it. Go buy a Wii.
Yeah.
Runs everything you need. Like, yeah. And you can homebrew it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, the GameCube to me is completely obsolete other than collecting.
Yeah.
But purists will be purists.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think it's a tactile thing too.
Like, it is.
It's like a very unique console. And just, you know, the power button, the disc tray, everything about it is much more tactile.
A lot of enjoyment is, I don't know. I've never been a tactile kind of guy.
But yeah.
It's like, you know, you see people who like mod Game Boy Advances or mod original Game Boys and stuff. And it's like, why? It's like,
yeah.
Buy a DS. Like, it's, or you know just what I mean? Just like DS, get a pleb. Better console. Yeah. Like,
get good scrub.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a big emulator guy. It just is what it is.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's easy. You know, it's convenient.
Yes. I'd sooner play Pokemon on my phone than some kind of modded out Game Boy Advance console,
yeah,
or whatever.
I hear you. Yeah. And it's nice having like all the upscalers and stuff. And like, I played Wind Waker on Dolphin 2 with
the
4K upscaling.
Yeah.
It's like, geez, this looks like. This looks like the Wind Waker HD version.
It's nice because that kind of graphic style doesn't age.
No.
Like, it's like cel shading, right?
It's cel shading.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you play that without the, like, just bare bones as it was, it's pretty rough.
Is it?
Yeah. But when you turn on, when you turn on Dolphin's, like, 4K upscaler, it actually looks really good.
That's, yeah, great to know.
Yeah.
Wind Waker's something I'd love to revisit.
Oh, it's such a great game. The only thing that sucks is the fetch quest with the Triforce pieces.
I don't even, like, I'm so removed from Wind Waker.
Oh, it's such a great game.
I have such vague memories at this point.
And I feel like it's the last great Zelda for music, too.
Oh, wow.
Like, for me, like, the music I would listen to, like, Wind Waker had some of the best music. Ocarina of Time and Wind Waker.
Oh, fair. Yeah. I mean, I trust your ear. You are the musician here. So I'm like, oh, music and Zelda games are all good. But, like,
yeah, I mean, Twilight Princess is great. There's only, like, one or two themes from that I really remember or would listen to.
Okay.
Breath of the Wild also was very unique, but not quite the same as like something like
Nothing stood out to me in Breath, funny enough.
Yeah.
A lot of it was like overture stuff where it didn't
it's very minimalist.
Yes.
It's very minimalist, yes. And that reflects the game design too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like obviously I don't think you could have like a termina, you know, field theme, because it's like, that is the game.
You're in the world. Field the whole
time. You can't have like an orchestral track just hammering it out for like 5 hours nonstop.
So, and it's true.
Yeah.
It's very true.
I see the way, you know, I see the reason they went the way they did with the music design.
Yeah.
Yeah. To kind of suit the open world sparseness.
It almost feels empty when there isn't the soundtrack.
Yeah. Yeah.
A sense of emptiness anyway.
Yeah. There's just that... that initial when the daytime comes.
Yeah.
That piano melody, and you're like, ah, oh, and then it's gone.
But welcome into another episode of Greg's Weekend Rental Podcast. I, of course, am Greg here, joined by Jeremy.
Yo.
And if you saw big news here coming in, shill bidding.
Oh.
It's everywhere. Run.
Oh, like, God.
Coming in from eBay, so on ZNG Emporium, they were going to run a WADA 9.8 A++ Pokemon Silver going up for open auction on eBay, which in 2024 for there to be video games over 10,000 is pretty rare on eBay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This was going to sell for, there's a good chance it was going to go over 20,000.
Okay.
So that's, you know, that's a lot for an eBay auction.
What's the pop on that grade?
Pop 3, I believe.
So there's other...
One of three.
So there's 9.8.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, Lugia, Pokemon Silver, Lugia PSA 10 sells for like 50,000 still, I think, Neo Genesis. Silver's the big one. It's up there. But running on open auction, and it was up for a while. It was running Sunday to Sunday, I believe, and we got to like Friday. So yeah, the auction was going. Yep. I was sitting at $15,000 until you see that there was a canceled bid on it. It was like, oh, bid canceled, $20,000.
Huh.
Okay, weird. And that shot it back down to $13,000 or $12,000 or something. And then after that, the next day, the whole auction was just canceled.
Wow.
And so then it was like, oh, well, why? Like, you know what I mean? What's going on with this Pokemon Silver? Why did it get canceled? And actually, someone from SAC, the Discord, joined Discord, not Discord, had noticed that the seller, so it was on consignment, right? But because it's a pop three, you can trace ownership pretty darn well. Mm. If anyone's ever posted about it on Instagram, if anyone's ever posted about it on eBay, I think this person had it on eBay at a massive buy it now price.
Okay.
So the person who owns it was already advertising the game prior to consignment.
Right.
So ownership was known. Not, you know, it's not anonymous. So with that, when you check eBay bid history, you can see feedback scores. So you can go through there and you can match a feedback score to a profile. If it's the same, it's quite unlikely you're going to see 786 feedback exactly on two different, you know what I mean? But then even going a step further, ZNG being the consigner has actual profile names. He can actually link real names, real bidding, real locations. And going through it, it's like, okay, the guy who consigned it was the first guy who was bidding on it. Mm-hmm. That's, canceled the bids and was like, hey, you can't shill bid your own item. Like, it's against terms here. Didn't kick him, though. It was like, oh, just don't do that, right? And the guy was like, oh, okay, sorry. Like, didn't know. Won't do it.
Didn't know.
you know what I mean? You got to give this benefit of the doubt because it's like, you know what I mean?
Sorry, my dog got on my eBay account.
I wouldn't kick a guy off at that point. Yeah. I maybe you feel differently, but if you're bidding on your own item at consignment on a single profile, it's like so long as you pay for it, it doesn't really matter. Like, say you won your own item, you were pumping it, you just buy it, you pay the fees, you pay the consignment fees, you retain ownership. All right. You know, some people might say that's really dumb, but like you're playing by the rules still.
Right.
You can be a bidder in there. So, okay, you're bidding on your own item. Not a huge deal. Not good. Not the worst thing. But after their initial conversation, he then looked into another bidder. And that was then another account linked to the guy.
Oh.
It was the seller's middleman account. I guess there's Australian. So it was one of the middleman accounts that the seller was also using without the middleman knowing he was using it and bidding against himself.
Wow.
So now you have two shill bid accounts. So, you know, I said with one, it's like, okay, you know, like, still a little bit questionable. But if you have two accounts pumping your item, at that point, it's like, okay, this is now...
That's the line.
It just is, right? Yeah. It just is. There's no justification for even right. fair play. It's like, oh, you are blatantly pumping this.
Yeah.
You don't even have to wait for someone else to care. You just pump it yourself.
Yeah.
So he got kicked off of the consignment. ZNG blocked them, canceled the auction. I think it's the only thing you can do at that point.
Yeah. Well, especially like, you know, it's their image that's at risk, really.
Well, yeah, exactly. It's now calling into question the integrity of the consignment service itself.
Mm-hmm.
So if you find this, I don't see how you can just let it run. You can't. You have to bring it off. It's not even an auction anymore. Just do it, buy it now if you want to buy it now. That's the issue with two accounts. It becomes a buy it now.
Yeah.
It becomes a reserve.
Yeah.
So, and then, I think we agree you have to kick it off.
Yeah, I would think so. Like, it's just tainted at that point.
What if they paid for it? Would you care then?
It's still, I don't know. It's, you know, it's still not genuine, I think.
Yeah, it still just feels grimy.
Yeah, it's still grimy.
Like, it just like...
Even if they, you know, paid the fees and whatever, it's still... The selling price is moot. It's not a price point anymore.
Yeah, and
it could be for someone looking to sell their own.
I know.
Which is fraudulent in that case. You know, yeah. The price point is not real because someone shilled it, so.
Yeah, now you enter into the world of fake comps and manipulation and all of this stuff where it's like, no. Like, no, we don't need to do this.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and this guy doing it, like, the silver is one item he had. He also had some Magikarp card that was like a double holo foil air. That was also getting pumped up. Wow. I don't remember what price that was at, but it was going to be like a 5 to 10,000, maybe even more. It might have been a PSA 10.
Was it a Japanese card?
Neo Revelation First Dead Shining Magikarp, but it had like a double holo air or something. So it was like more beautiful than regular.
Hmm.
Cool card. But, and then in his collection too, which I guess was pending consignment, there's like first edition PSA 10 Lugias and like we're talking a collection, 500,000, maybe $1 million. So this isn't, it's funny because I don't know, maybe in my head I think like it would be a small one-time guy shill bidding or something, but it's like, oh, it's the guy who has everything, who already has a bunch of money, who has expensive stuff, who's also now shill bidding.
Right.
And maybe that is more what it is. Is the people who do whatever it takes, if you want to put it that way.
Right.
I try to think of like going at this with a positive, you know, fair play kind of mindset versus the crush your enemies. Like, maybe that's why I don't have expensive cards. Maybe I'm playing wrong out here.
I mean, I'm sure the people that, you know, when you see like these crazy prices on eBay for games or something, you know, I got like, I'm trying to think of like when I sort by highest price now, it's like there's a Japanese Mario or whatever for $1 million or something.
Yes.
You know, there are people like that who will just, they don't really, I don't know if they don't feel shame. They don't really care. They don't care how other people perceive them. They'll do whatever to make the most money.
Yeah.
Backdoor.
I guess it gets into the talk of backdooring as well, where it's like, oh, like who cares?
Yeah.
Screw you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's kind of like a narcissistic outlook on things.
Yeah, I think you really get into that world once you start getting into these more expensive collectibles.
Yeah.
You get people who like do not care.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'll fully say that the thought of like, oh, it's good for the community and stuff. Like, I think that gets overblown as well in the world of collecting, given how selfish collecting is in general.
Hmm.
It's like, oh, you can help the community by not doing blank. And it's like what community, man? I'm already buying stuff for myself at prices. Like when I buy stuff, you can't have it. There is no community there.
You know what? Like the scummiest people I know are the ones who use like, do it for the community. I do it for the community. It's, you know, it's manipulative language.
Of course it is.
You know,
of course it is.
Yeah.
it's trying to play to emotion to get an outcome that you desire.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're using not me. It's community. You got to help the community.
Yeah.
If you don't do that, you're bad for the community. And it's like, you know, I think that gets overplayed as well. I like to try and, you know, tread a realistic line of like, you can't look out for a community, but yes, obviously it's nice to help people, all that stuff. But, you know, on the opposite side of it, you do have people who just do not care at all.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care what you think. Mm-hmm. I don't care. I'm going to make the money. I'm going to do whatever it takes to do it. And like, if you don't like it, like, block me. You're a hater. Block me.
Yeah.
That's right. As funny as it is. So with this, with ZNG kicking this off, I gave you the laydown there, two accounts, shill bidding, using account without authorization. I don't know how much more you can do, right? Like, I don't know how you could do much worse with that, but
yeah.
Then you go onto Instagram, right? And you have this other guy now, when we're talking about these other people that exist. So this guy, who's about to share this opinion here, I'm going to just read through it. This guy was called out as well as being a scammer, which, surprise, right? Scammer defending a scammer.
Yeah.
He was skimming off the top of consignments. So you'd go to him and he'd be like, oh, 5% consignment rate. I'll sell your card for you, right? And you'd say like, oh, I'm hoping to get 5,000 for it or whatever. So he would take your card. He would sell it for 6,000, tell you he sold it for 5,000, take his 5% off the 5,000 while also pocketing that additional 1,000.
Oh, yeah. And, so obviously not doing it public sales.
No, all private. And the only reason he got found is because the guy who consigned and the buyer
connected
just randomly. And I think it was shared the price. And he's like, hey, I sold my card for $5,000. He's like, I paid $6,000.
Wait a sec.
Yes.
Wait a sec.
You know,
that's, I feel like when you're dealing with people like that who you can't completely trust, you need to negotiate a net price. It's like, no matter what, I get this money out of it. Whatever you can do on top of that is your burden. You wouldn't consign with that type of person anyway.
Who sells something for more and just doesn't sell the kid? Like, what? I'm pretty sure that's illegal.
Well, yeah, obviously the way he did it. But I mean, like, if you were the consigner, if you're someone consigning your collectibles to a dealer,
yeah,
you can negotiate a net price instead of a 5% fee or whatever.
Okay, you're saying just pick a net price instead of a fee.
Yeah, that's how you protect yourself and create a predictable outcome.
Interesting.
Then you know, like, out of this card, I'm going to get $5,000 no matter what he sells it for.
I feel like it's difficult with a lot of those things that don't have super solid comps.
Yeah.
Like, say, you know, your PSA 10, whatever.
Oh,
whatever,
for sure. It's a risk in terms of underselling yourself.
Well, I just, you might not even get the price, though.
Yeah.
Like, you do a net, right? Say, I want net 5,500. Well, we can't. There's no buyer.
Yeah.
So what happens then?
So, well, then that's up to the, I would say that's up to the dealer to know that that's not really possible. And then they say, well, maybe 4 is more a realistic price to get you.
Okay.
You know, it should be a dialogue. But I'm just saying it's an alternate way to kind of protect yourself.
Rather than percentages?
Yeah.
Because I feel like percentages is more common.
Percentages is more common, but also if you're dealing with people who will skim, then that's going to happen when you don't know
just
a sale
like,
price.
It just sucks that, you know what I mean? Like, you have a high-end consignment service. I think
that shit happens all the time. In antiques dealing, all that kind of stuff. You can sign it. They sell it for a little more than they said they did. I'm pretty sure that's common.
I'm sure it happens all the time. I made the video talking about shill bidding and how common it is. Mm-hmm. I would absolutely assume that you are right that skimming is more common than anyone will ever know, because realistically, you never will know.
Yeah.
That's how the scam works. You never know.
Yeah.
Because they just tell you one price and that's that. Yeah. And imagine if you just NDA the buyer. Mm-hmm. They can't even talk about it.
Yeah.
Right? Like, depending on how high of prices we're talking about, it wouldn't be ridiculous to NDA something and be like, oh, like, you know, don't talk about the price.
Yeah.
Get a private sale on it and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so this guy, obviously he defended his actions. I don't even know how. I don't forget what his rationale was. I wish I could remember. I'd have to go back and watch. I think it was Rattle Pokemon who covered it in detail. But of course, he had mental gymnastics as how he's not the bad guy and like, you know, is somewhere on the lines of he wanted 5,000. He said he wanted 5,000. I got him 5,000. And it's like, sick, dude. Like something like that. But anyways, he put up a story that day then. And it's like, hey, mind blowing to see ZNG pull the auction. Watch all these pests now go and call him a scammer because he was bidding up his own item, which he never even had the chance to win and pay for. Not illegal, not fraudulent. And auction houses allow this to happen a lot. If you don't pay, you get banned. The guy didn't even get a chance to get, he didn't even have a chance to pay, he just got banned. You really thought you did something here, man. Using real estate as an example, ZNG was talking about with real estate, like if you're just pumping a house price using fake comps and stuff, it doesn't work. Using real estate as example showed me how blank stupid ZNG is. I have a buyer willing to pay more is a sales tactic in every industry. It has nothing to do with shill bidding, by the way. What the blank. So again, using fake interest, fake whatever.
Yeah.
Sales tactic used in every industry.
Yeah.
So again, you're kind of a scumbag. Make up a fake offer, make up a fake bid against yourself. Sorry, man, I can't accept that. I have people at 5,500. Yes, it probably is a tactic used in everything. I agree with that fully.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't disagree that it is used everywhere. Still makes you a POS. Like, you know what I mean? It's one of those things.
Yeah.
What do I know? I'm just a... Then he goes on a cope here. I'm just a scammer, according to people I've never done business with who can't even afford to be in this hobby. Thank God those pests had zero impact on my business. Him talking about him being called out as a skimming off consignments and stuff. But then he goes again here, so... So number one, ZNG blasted a client of his mainly because he has a big collection and is wealthy. He put that point in there again. The can't afford to be in the hobby and ZNG just attacked this guy because it's wealthy. Is there something that happens to your brain once you get a certain amount of money? Like, do you just like get a certain sense of delusion?
You want more.
Yeah. Like, are you just untouchable? Like, yeah, just, ZNG hated the guy because he had money, Jeremy. That was the story there.
That's exactly why.
If he had less money, like, but his justification for making that comment is, do you think he would have made a 30-minute video on a card being shilled worth $25? Which, of course not, though. Which I think it's fair. You probably wouldn't.
No.
Because we're talking about fraud, at the scale of tens of thousands of dollars versus $10.
Yeah, there's legal definitions of the amount of fraud that's considered like grand versus petty theft.
There's literal definitions of this.
Yeah, so obviously.
It's not really just, obviously you're not going to talk about a $25 versus $25,000.
Yeah.
Then the other thing, you're acting like it's illegal to bid on your own items and pay for them if you win. Are you stupid? You just assumed you wouldn't pay for the item. If I don't like a price of a card at auction, I just win it back and blah, blah, blah. The auction house gets their cut. And that's what I was saying is you can actually win your card, which if he was using one account to do this with, I would say, win your card and do it again. But the point isn't, I think it's missing the point there where it's not about if you pay or not when you're using two accounts at this point and one unauthorized. Who cares if you pay at that point? You've already committed the fraud.
Mm-hmm.
So okay, you paid at the end of it. That's nice, I guess. But I don't know. It just seems like, I think there's zero chance he was paying. You're using two accounts, so just go unpaid on the alt.
Yeah,
right. You just don't pay on the alt account. Pretty easy. Just walk away. But that's my own opinion. I just don't think it was ever getting paid. Why pay at that point? You've already shilled with two accounts. Just walk away, right? Who knows who won? I don't know that guy. You're using the other account. And his last point, absolutely no one is forcing other buyers to bid on any auction shilled or not. And no one is forcing them to pay if they win either. So again, I don't disagree with that point. It sucks because even this guy has there's pieces in there. Now there's pieces of logic.
Pieces of sanity.
Yeah. Where it's like, no, that's true. No one's forcing anyone to bid on these auctions to pay for these auctions. I agree. If you're going to enter into this, pay the price you got to pay the price on.
Yeah.
But it just completely ignores how we get there. It's like the end price, no matter what it is, or the end outcome, justifies all the means to get there.
Right.
And I think that's where I vastly disagree with basically everything he said at that point. But, you also take in that he himself was, again, right, the end justifies the means. It's like, I got the guy the $5,000.
Yeah.
Well, how'd you get there? Well, I sold his card for $7,500, pocketed $2,500, and gave him five.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
How we get there does matter.
Yeah, well, absolutely, because if the agreement was 5%, you didn't hold up your end of the bargain, which is illegal. And, I would understand if we saw some paperwork that said a $5,000 net. Then yeah, he's right.
I agree.
But if that's not the case,
5% consignment rate of whatever it sells for.
Yeah,
is the agreement.
If that's the agreement, then he didn't hold up his end of the bargain.
Exactly.
And that's theft.
And when you go into the shill bidding on two accounts, you're breaking eBay terms of service. And I don't think there's anything illegal with using two accounts to do it. I don't. But if your framework for morality and ethics is it illegal? You're probably not doing that great anyway.
Yeah.
It's like
on other ethics and morale.
Yeah, it's like you're thinking, okay, yeah, you're right. It's probably not illegal. If that is your only basis, it's like, wow, don't ever talk to me. Like, yeah. I don't want to know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Right? Because like you will cross legal lines. Of course you will. You don't care at that point.
Yeah, of course.
But so that was the big thing going on there with auctions, and it's a shame to see, honestly, because that was going to be an exciting one.
Yeah, that's too bad. I really wonder if that hadn't been the issue, where it would have ended up.
And now we're in this spot where it's like, oh, it was going to go to auction, now it didn't. Does this taint Pokemon Silver now for the other owners? Like I said, there's three of them.
Hmm.
I think at least two of them are known. Like, we know who has this one, obviously. and there's one other one that everyone knows who has.
Hmm.
So, I don't know. Does that affect the price of it now? Or now is Pokemon Silver more popular? Because, oh my god.
I don't know. It's tough to say. I mean, you have to be someone who knows the different copies or how to even find out which copy is which.
I feel like this, at bare minimum, if this guy was serious about wanting to sell his game, he will now get a lower price.
I think that copy is going
to
be...
Like, his copy, him selling it, I don't see how he could expect to get more for it now than...
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, it's who wants it bad enough. And if they need it and they're willing to pay for it.
I know, it's funny because at the same time, someone else could be like, oh, hey, a Pokemon Silver. Like, I kind of want that. Who cares about all this? Like,
all that crap doesn't matter.
It's noise. It is. Like, if you're actually just entering the market to go buy it, that is noise. Like, who cares? That doesn't, whatever. They'll, deal with what they deal with. I'm a guy with $20,000 and I want this game.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to sell it to me or not? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So in that case, yeah, you could be right that it just doesn't matter. And that's what I mean with the community stuff there. It's like, you know, oh my God, this is so bad for the community and stuff, and this hurts, and he's going to sell his game. People will still deal with him. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like, is he a scammer? No. I think, do you call that scamming at that point? Like, would you call the guy a scammer?
We're talking about the shill bidder,
yeah,
right?
The shill bidding.
Honestly, I think, yeah.
Yeah, you'd yeah. go that far?
Because it's dishonest, right?
Scamming. Would you be afraid of dealing with them?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Okay. Interesting. Okay.
For sure. I mean, you know, when the price is right on items, you know, the item is just an item. Mm-hmm. But I would never buy from any of his accounts.
Okay.
Or if he was selling it at open auction.
Open auction? I wouldn't touch his stuff.
I wouldn't touch. Yeah,
absolutely not.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you're buying privately, an item is an item. As long as you get it.
Yeah, it's hard to scam. It's like, ship me my item or you don't ship me my item. There's not a whole lot you can do.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people, like even that guy who has reading those opinions of falls back on that, where it's like, if you deal with me, like, yeah, you're okay. You're going to ship the card. Great. Cool. You know what I mean?
That's, but I'm going to take money when I, yeah, when we agreed otherwise.
I'm going to overcharge you on shipping though and take, like, you know, it's like,
this card costs $1,000 to ship.
Yeah. So yeah, I agree. People can always do the bare minimum expectation in a transaction, but yeah, I think you have to call it a scam too. Like, you scammer. Like, you are, who knows? Who knows what you're capable of?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, if you don't see anything ethically wrong with it, then what else don't you see?
Yeah. Like I said, if your barrier is illegal, yeah.
Yeah, that's a pretty low bar.
It certainly is. So that was the fun we got to have in the hobby this past week. And with shill bidding, though, you got yourself some cards.
With shill bidding. Well,
can we,
Greg.
Yeah, can we be expecting to see these at auction anytime soon?
Probably not, but I graded my childhood Pokemon cards.
That's exciting.
Finally. Some of them, anyway. Not all of them, but I sent in, like, I don't know how many on the 30-something to PSA for the first time ever. First time I ever graded anything through PSA.
Really?
Yeah.
What made you, first time you ever graded cards?
Yeah.
What made you use PSA?
Well, there was a local card show here, and there was a rep, and they had a great deal for Pokemon cards.
Fair enough.
Grading.
Would you have considered a different company? Like, I'm just saying, you know, as someone who doesn't do it yourself at all, I'm just curious, like, did you consider CGC? SGC just got bought. I don't know if you saw that.
No, I didn't see that.
They got bought by PSA.
Oh.
So, like, there goes, you know, the monopoly grows. Yeah, oh, yeah. Really, though, right?
Yeah.
I don't even, who are you? BGS, CGC, PSA. Did you consider other ones?
Honestly, I think I would only consider Beckett or PSA.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. Not even the Beckett over CGC.
I think so. I think their rep, from what I gather,
yeah, no,
holds
fair enough,
higher than CGC. That fair might enough change in the future.
I would, like, at this point, I just have no interest in BGS at all. I don't know. Just never have appealed to me.
I don't know. I feel like PSA is the CGC of cards. That's just what you see it everywhere.
Like, you mean the CGC comics of cards?
Yeah.
Because CGC...
Yeah, I know. They're grading cards. But, like, what CGC is to comics, I feel like PSA is to cards.
Yes, okay. I agree with you 100% there.
Yeah.
And I think that's what draws a lot of people to PSA, even if the prices are higher, even if the grades are more random, even if... You know what I mean? There's a lot of issues with PSA, but it's like, at the end of the day, the money talks and the brand recognition's there.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyway, what'd you send?
Well, let's take a
now
look.
The YouTube people get a treat here, because we get to...
get to actually look at
you get
this
to actually
stuff.
See them.
I did put this in terms of grades. So what is this? That's the higher grades.
You sent in WotC here? Like, your childhood collection was all vintage stuff, I assume?
Vintage stuff. Base nice. Set, fossil.
Jungle. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The good stuff.
Yeah, the good stuff. Okay, let's start with the crap grades first.
Did you feel like you got shafted on anything where you were like, man, how did this do this poorly? Or
yeah,
did you...
actually.
Oh, God. Oh, boy.
Not too many. Actually, I mean, I don't really grade cards often, but I guess if there's one that I was really shocked... this E3 Pikachu got a 5, and I can't see a damn thing wrong with it.
So here it is. Yeah, you guys can go ahead and take a peek at it here. It's the base set Pikachu, but it has a little E3 emblem on the right side of it there. Cool card, but you got a 5 on it.
Yeah, and I, like, when I saw it, I was like, really?
Yeah, 5 is not good.
Like, I did not expect a 5.
It's like straight damaged.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if you get a 5, it's like, oh, that's bad.
Like, I can't see anything on that card.
And I'm giving it a quick scan here. I mean, I'm not a card expert myself by any
means.
You've
graded
I've graded hundreds of cards, yeah.
Yeah.
You'd think with a five here, this would be something. I close one eye here to try and...
Yeah, see, like, for comparison, you know...
This is a nice card, man.
It's a really nice card. Like, look at this Venusaur. Like, it's got...
Here, take this one. It's this Venusaur's a five as well.
It's obviously a five. Like, you know, you
look at... Oh, yeah, I know. You can...
It's got dirt on it.
You can look at this Venusaur. It's discolored in one corner. There's hollow scratching everywhere.
Yeah, and
the whitening. Like... Oh, man, the whitening is insane on the back
like,
here.
Like, you look at the Pikachu and you're like, really? Like...
And there's dirt all over there. Like, you don't even have to... you don't have to do anything. This is a five. You can just look at it and you're like, oh, man, that's a
five.
A very... Yeah, very used, ugly. It's a five.
Yeah.
It's a five.
Yeah, and I remember having a Venusaur back when I was a kid, but I think maybe I traded it and I bought this one at a card shop like, you know, 15 years ago or something.
It's funny. It's just unlimited, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. It's still awesome.
It's fine. You know, whatever. I mean, with the grading cost, it's like these cards cost me nothing, basically, so...
Well, yeah, and when you have zero cost, I'm still looking at this Pikachu, man. I just can't.
There's like,
I just don't get it.
There's barely anything on it.
Is the E3 Pikachu really expensive?
Like, not super, unless it's Red Cheeks. I think Red Cheeks is the expensive one.
Is it worth you sending it again for $15?
I don't know.
I mean, I know you'd have to pay some shipping and stuff, but if you have anything else to send, man, I would probably crack it and just try again.
Yeah, I might.
Like, even a 7-8 on that, like.
Yeah, I have another batch. This is a Poliwrath. It's trash. It's got like some dirt on the front.
Another five stuff. That is a five.
Yeah, that's definitely a five.
Yeah. Yeah, like five is just so freaking, you know, a five is a five. So it's weird when you get hit with that.
Yeah.
And that's the thing with PSA grading there. Well, I mean, any grading company. I say PSA, I think just because they get the most volume, they also have the most stigma about it.
Yeah.
But like you just get random grades sometimes.
Yeah, it feels like that way sometimes.
Oh man, I saw on Instagram, some guy sent in a Topson Venusaur. He got a four. He sent it back and got a 10. You tell me.
How does that, is that like a algorithm error or something?
That's what I was about to say. Is it just like a mechanical error? Like what's going on here?
Yeah.
So... if you are going to send cards in, like you have to pre-screen your cards yourself. You have to. Like, I don't know if you did yourself. You wrote down guesses or anything.
Not really. No.
See, if you do, at least then you can be like, man, I like the Pikachu, right? You can sit here and be like, hey, this was a lot nicer than I thought it was.
Yeah.
Not that you can fight PSA. You can't like
no.
send them a message. Like, they don't care.
Yeah.
But you can crack it out and spend $15 again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah, so this, there's a bunch of sixes here.
Getting
now.
Into some sixes, okay. Yeah, we got some going here.
That Clefairy
nice
there.
Nice Clefairy,
you know
holo.
What? Back when...
Zapdos.
Back in 2000, I don't know if you ever remember the shopping malls here having Pokemon Nights.
No, I don't. I was not... I might have been too young, honestly, or maybe just not even...
Maybe, so...
Kangaskhan, nice little first edition here, Jungle.
Yeah.
And Vaporeon, a first edition. Hey,
yeah.
We're getting somewhere.
There's a bunch of nines in first edition, too.
Hey, even this Vaporeon in a six. Vaporeon, freaking expensive jungle.
Yeah.
One of the most sought after, actually. You got to buy that card polish stuff and see what we can turn it into.
That's right.
Maybe we can create an eight.
We're talking about morals and ethics here.
let's polish, see what we can do.
Let's polish and trim this crap.
Yeah, we'll get a nice trim on it. No doubt.
It's funny because the Clefairy in that pile, I know, is directly from my childhood collection. And
did you pull any of these yourselves, by the way?
No, actually. Those were all trades.
Oh, okay.
But the Clefairy, I remember my best friend, we were both at the shopping mall. Friday night, they had Pokemon night. So it was just flooded with kids with binders. And he's like, man, this guy has like a Clefairy. We never seen one. It was super.
Well, seeing base set holos was rare as heck when we were kids. They just like didn't.
It did. We didn't, you know, never.
I don't
saw
even know
one.
If I bought a base set pack as a child.
We did certainly.
Okay. I know you're a few years older than I am.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember what the nicest thing we ever pulled from a base set was. Might have been like a Nidoking or something.
I mean, hey, that's a holo hit.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. We did get a few holos, but nothing amazing. Mostly got it through trades.
Yeah.
But I remember this Clefairy at the shopping mall. My friend was like, that guy's a Clefairy. I really want to trade for one. So I had like three Kangaskhan's jungle set base. And I somehow miraculously got a trade for a Kangaskhan for a base set Clefairy.
Nice.
And I showed him after and he's like, what? It's like, how did you?
Well, it's hard because did people really even know that this was like jungle versus base set versus
no, you
like.
Know, I remember sometimes seeing kids' binders and like. You know, I saw like Voltorb or whatever the hollow one is in the jungle set for the first time.
Yeah.
Electrode, yeah. And I was like, oh my God, like I'd never seen that card before. Jungle was brand new at the time. So like, you know, when you see those new cards that you've never seen before, you're like, you want them.
I feel like the original 151 just kind of blended in everyone's brain. Like, it wasn't like jungle fossil base. It was just like, oh, here's the original 151.
Yeah.
What do you see? And like, I swear we bought jungle and fossil packs, but I didn't even understand that it was like different distribution.
Yeah.
I was like, oh man, this one, like, I know this one has rock types and this is has grass, but like, I don't know. I didn't know it was like, oh, out of 63, out of 65. Like I wasn't, you know, dumb kid.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And I think, by the time fossil came out, the local comic shop was selling singles, like hollow singles.
Okay. Yeah.
So you could go and buy. You know, I remember my neighbors would sometimes go and they'd get new their cards their parents would buy and they'd come over and we'd trade. And so, yeah, that's how we got a lot of our collection.
Oh, yeah, same.
As a kid. Let's see. How many sevens do we got? Oh, I got a bunch here. There we go. Okay.
The sevens.
The stack of sevens.
Starting into Charizard. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, starting with a freaking Zard.
Yeah.
Look at this guy.
There we go.
Got the money.
Yeah.
Nice little base set on Lim Charizard, eh?
I remember me and my best friend, we traded one of our neighbor friends for that. We each had to put in a few hollows.
Really, hey?
Yeah.
That's unreal, man.
Yeah.
Like, even just holding, like, a base unlimited, like, man, that, yeah. Like, well, that hits.
I mean, when you see that thing in some kid's binder back then, you're like, oh, my God. Like, you never see that card.
That
Rarely saw Blastoise, rarely saw Charizard.
It makes sense. Those were the, like, the cards.
Yeah.
Alakazam,
for
Chansey,
whatever, you know, they still are.
Gyarados. Man, this is like all the, it's like all base set here. Magneton.
Yeah.
There we go. Hitmonlee, first ed. Very nice. Did you, were you guys doing first edition packs with Jungle and Fossil? Do you remember if you were buying them?
You know where I got them from was eBay.
Oh, really? You were?
Maybe like mid 2000s, late 2000s. I randomly.
Base set Mewtwo to end off there.
Yeah. I randomly bought a complete Jungle first edition set.
Really?
Yeah.
Like what year would that have been?
Oh, like 2006, 2007.
Wow. Maybe. Really early.
So very cheap.
What was it, like $100, not even?
Yeah, maybe like $35 or something.
Oh god, yeah. Okay.
And like a lot very, of them graded like 8, 9, the hollows.
Very nice.
Yeah, so that's what's coming up here.
Because I remember it must have been 2014, 2015. I went and bought like a complete set of like pack fresh uncommons and commons for jungle.
Mm.
And I think it was like $20 for all of them.
Oh, yeah.
No hollows, no rares, but it's like, you know, every other card, pack fresh, mint, first edition.
Right.
For $15, $20.
Right.
So you talk about prices being cheap. Yeah, if you were buying 06, 07, I mean,
you're paying nothing. You're getting stuff for nothing.
Starting off with a freaking Snorlax, first ed 8.
Yeah,
that's a nice one.
I wish that was a 9. Oh, man.
I need one still.
Oh, yeah.
I need a Snorlax 9. I don't want to pay like the $300-$500 it's worth, though.
Yeah.
I was talking about Vaporeon being one of the most desirable. Freaking Snorlax is heavy, too.
That one could possibly be a 9. I think it's pretty nice.
They might have killed you because of your hollow line scratch going right across his face there.
Yeah.
It's horizontal, like right through his thing.
Yeah.
And
there's actually a vertical scratch next to his head, too.
That's where you start getting slammed on these
and
holo cards.
You know what? There's a hair inside the grading case.
Oh, how nice.
Thanks, PSA.
That's super lucky.
Thanks. But you know what? There's like very, I mean, there's some corner ding, very little. Yeah, you know what? Maybe this is a generous 8.
We go from should be a 9 to thank God I got an 8 real quick. You know what? Looking
at this. Well, you know, now that there's a hair in there.
Where's the hair you were seeing?
It's on the back.
Oh, yeah, there it is. That's nice. That's nice. Nice little white hair, hey?
That's a bonus. Someone's little beard
that
hair.
That sucks. That sucks so much. Yeah, a piece of the grader to take home with you.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I think you can complain about that and like get it sent back, but it's like, you know, it's a hassle. And,
yeah. And hey, while you're at it, give me a bump up in grade.
Maybe it's a generous 8. Like,
yeah.
Pidgeot first edition, the pincer. Yeah, that's sick that you bought an entire set of jungle first ed.
Yeah, I don't even know why I did it. There might have been like a small period where I was like, oh, yeah, I should buy some Pokemon cards. Could never get these things as a kid.
Base set Ninetales. I mean, that's where I got into it again because I was like, you know, 2013, 2014, I was like, oh man, I have not gone back down the Pokemon rabbit hole yet.
Yeah.
I should put some sets together. Why not?
Yeah, of course.
And same with Yu-Gi-Oh! I went deep into that.
Yeah, me too. I started collecting Yu-Gi-Oh! Later.
Jolteon first edition there, PSA 8. Yeah, I love the evolutions on Jungle. Jungle's such a sick set, man.
Yeah, some like, nice hollows for sure.
Oh, Dark Hypno, even got some Rocket going on
yeah,
there.
Yeah,
and it's all just Jungle Fossil base. Got the Dark Hypno coming in.
Yeah, I never, you know what, I stopped. I think we stopped kind of collecting cards around
Wigglytuff,
Team Rocket. Not gym leaders, actually. We barely had any gym leaders.
Yeah, I didn't do gym leader either. Yeah. I think we had already checked out and I bought like one set of Legendary Collection or a couple packs of that. I didn't know what the hell LC was, yeah. Right? It was just like, same with base set 2. I was like, why am I buying second edition cards?
Oh yeah, base set 2. That's what I thought it was. You know what? We had no interest in base set 2.
I thought it was second edition. Yeah. Because like I had some first ed and then these ones had a 2 on it. And I was like, why am I getting second edition cards? Yeah. Why are they printing these?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah. No, we never, like even when they first came out as a kid, we were just like,
You understood it was base 2, like yeah. A reprint set?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we never bought any boosters.
Yeah, base 2 and Legendary Collection, I had no idea what the hell was going on.
Yeah.
I was still too dumb.
Yeah.
So LC I bought, and I was like, oh, cool. Like, why am I getting the same cards, though?
Yeah. It's like, you know? I recognize these cards. What's going on? And they, like, amalgamated some of the jungle into the
base. Oh, they did. Yeah,
set.
It was like you're getting Rocket Stratini out of Legendary Collection. So right. It's literally like... everything tossed together here.
Yeah.
Got the Flareon 9 to start off.
Yeah, that's nice.
It is.
It's probably the second most valuable next to Charizard.
Probably. I think. Snorlax 8 is probably fighting it too, honestly.
It's pretty close.
Yeah, like that Snorlax just freaking sells for so much. The Scyther 9, that's one of my favorite cards in the set.
Yeah.
I've always loved Scyther.
Yeah.
The Vileplume. That's awesome that it had some 9s in there.
Yeah.
Like, just that you bought a random set and they actually had some, like, that's getting close to pack fresh. I mean, it could be pack fresh at a 9.
Yeah. Yeah, and I remember...
The Ancient Mew promo.
Yeah.
Classic.
That is my copy that I got at the premiere.
Oh, really?
Movie. Yeah.
You held on to it for all that time.
Yeah, you know what I did? I had... I don't know what it was. It was some kind of plastic sealer. Like, you could seal food in it. So a lot of my really nice cards, including that Ancient Mew,
yep.
I took right out of the pack and I sealed in plastic. So we used this plastic sealer to like seal the best cards.
Yeah, to genuinely just keep it.
Yeah, and it stayed in a binder all
its
life.
Yeah, that's great.
I thought that one was going to get a 10.
Where the heck did this come from? You have a Game Boy promo.
Game Boy promo.
Dragonite.
That was another.
Japanese.
Yeah.
Like where did, is this from your childhood still?
No, bought it off eBay. Again, around the time of when I got the Jungle set. Mid-2000s maybe.
And you bought it already graded, right? Because this is a low. I was looking at it. I was like, I didn't look at the cert number there being a 1.5. This is probably like from 2008, earlier.
Yeah, even
like,
earlier. Oh, yeah.
This is the lowest cert I think I've ever held.
Yeah. It's an old graded card, that's for sure.
No doubt.
Yeah.
That's really cool, though.
And I remember I bought that one because...
Game Boy promo Dragonite there.
Yeah. Me and my friend had a Dragonite, and I think it was a Japanese fossil Dragonite. There was a kid... When I used to be in intermediate orchestra, like when I was a kid, there was another guy in there who had a bunch of Japanese holos because his dad used to go to Japan for business.
Oh, really?
So he'd bring him back Japanese Pokemon cards.
That's so sick.
Had a lot of nice holos and stuff too. And I was like, oh, wish I could get my hands on those.
I genuinely just thought any Japanese card I saw as a kid was fake. Like I didn't, like I was just like, oh, that's fake. There was no...
See, you know, it's funny because when I saw those, I knew like... Like, no other kid would have those when I looked at them, because I was like, I want those.
And I think that's why they scared me so much, is because, you know, some of the poor fakes were, like, Chinese or Japanese, like, really bad quality fakes. And because of that, I, like, in my head, I was like, I don't know the difference.
Right.
I'm 10 years old, I can't, like,
yeah.
I don't know what the heck's happening here.
I don't think it would have gone through our minds that there would even exist fake cards when we were collecting.
I think Yu-Gi-Oh! Is where fake got me scared.
Maybe.
Is because.
But were you like buying online already?
Nope. Okay. Just in like schools and stuff.
Okay.
We had fake. Bad fakes, albeit.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
But like bad fakes, but fakes going around for sure.
Huh. Interesting. Yeah, I don't ever remember it being a thing with.
And some Asian English had worked its way into our school too.
Oh.
And it was like, are these fake? Like they were treated the same. They were fake. You know, like.
Yeah.
Super weird, man.
I do remember some kids trying to pass off like bad condition holos as rare. Like they would scratch off the holo and it would be, be like, this is a really rare card.
That's unreal.
Oh, to be a child again.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah.
What a great scam.
Yeah. So yeah, I think it turned out, you know, pretty
good. Yeah, overall, are you like, I mean, I don't think anything, it sucks you didn't get a 10.
No, I was, if anything, I was hoping for that Mewtwo movie promo.
Yeah, I was going to say that was your most realistic chance. I say it sucks you didn't get a 10, but like with how PSA grades now, hitting a 10 on a WotC Holo is like, they just don't do it.
Mm.
They just don't give out 10s.
Yeah.
Like jungle, fossil, you could probably hit on. Jungle, they're very tight. Base set, very tight.
I have some really nice fossils that I'm going to send in, like Gengar. I have a couple Gengars.
Oh, nice.
Haunter.
Why do you have a couple?
I just got them in trades. I think I might have bought one at a card shop one time, but it's really nice.
All right. Well, if you're
going to... We'll see what it grades.
Yeah, I mean, beautiful.
I say like really nice, seven. and then we get a hair, and it's a 5.
Yeah, exactly. You get the 5. I was going to say, if you are going to send in again, though, you got to crack that Pikachu, I think.
Yeah.
Just for science, even.
Yeah.
So you can have your first...
For science.
You can have your first-hand experience of, like, getting an awful PSA grade and sending it back.
Yeah. Maybe I should resubmit that Charizard, too. I don't know.
The one that got a 7 there?
Yeah, you should have a look at it.
Come back at a 6.
That's what I worry
generous
about.
Generous 7.
It's definitely like, it's not perfect centering. You know, that's the thing about that one.
Can't get it's out on of the this. Bottom. I can't get out of this plastic sleeve.
I only
here.
Had 2 sleeves, so I'm like, what should I put them on?
Yeah, no, I agree. Good choice to sleeve up the Zard. Very good choice.
Yeah.
I think you have... surface scratching on the back as well, going horizontally.
Yeah.
And I think you have, I don't know if that's on the card or not. It might be a little divot spot.
I think there's also like a printing line on the front hollow too.
Oh, there's, I mean, the front hollow is quite scratchy.
You know what? That's what I remember actually being a real thing we were concerned about as kids, because...
Really? You're already considering scratches on the hollow?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because we knew Pokemon card hollows were incredibly fragile. So that's why we only kept them in binders. And like... never played them, because it's like as soon as you touch that thing, it's scratched. But when Yu-Gi-Oh came out,
I don't think you're bumping this, to be honest.
I think you're right.
Yeah, just giving it a look over, it's like,
yeah, I think it is what it is.
Yeah, if you got an 8, I'd say it's a lucky 8. So it's like,
yeah,
you know, but heaven forbid you drop to a 6.
Yeah, it's funny because the Yu-Gi-Oh holos are so much more durable.
Yeah,
than Pokemon. It's probably just the printing method, but.
Like, even some of my childhood cards, I actually hit 10s on.
You can, like, rub your thumb on the hollows. It doesn't do anything. But, like, Pokemon cards, you just,
even
like...
Even when you do an unboxing and you just slip through the cards, like, you rub one card against the back.
You
it's
just,
like, man!
You breathe on it and it's done.
Yes!
I don't know.
Causing surface scratching that's just gonna, like, cost you grade.
Yeah.
And I know some people are like, oh, who cares about grade? Yeah. Of course we care about grade.
Of course
we're
we care.
We're in deep.
It's literally what matters.
Exactly.
You're not going to take a Charizard with a crease through it, so don't pretend like gray doesn't matter.
Exactly. Whether you're sending it in or you're not.
And I remember at one of those Friday night mall things, a kid having a Charizard, but it had a literally folded in half.
There's a pocket crease when you keep it in your pocket and you sit down and it like...
And he had it in a binder.
Really?
But
hey?
It had like a giant crease in it. He was trying to trade it to me. I'm like, I know it's Charizard, but I don't want that.
Yep. And I think I creased an entire... like a pack of Yu-Gi-Oh cards in my pocket. Like I opened the pack and like put them in my pocket
oh
and then
God.
Like, you know what I mean? You sit down and it's like,
yeah,
the whole pack just like, oh, well, that's that.
Yeah. You actually, know? You know, I have some really nice Yu-Gi-Oh holos too. One of the first holos I ever pulled was a Jinzo.
Oh my God.
So
you peaked early.
I feel like I want to grade it just for that.
I would.
But most of them.
Is it unlimited?
Yeah. Most of them are unlimited and I feel like, I don't know. Most of the guys I've talked to, they're like, don't even bother.
Yeah, Yu-Gi-Oh! Unlimited's very bad for the most part.
Yeah.
But like, Jinzo's Jinzo, but you know what I mean? Like, there's like 10 cards I'd say are worth it.
Yeah.
Jinzo's one of them, luckily.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, Unlimited Yu-Gi-Oh! Did not hold up at all compared to Unlimited Pokemon.
Well, it's not relevant anymore, really.
Well, that too, I guess.
Like, there's games, I guess, you can play, you know, the digital version of the games, but there's no anime anymore. It's like, is there a manga anymore?
That's the big thing is... You're right. The gameplay modern playing Yu-Gi-Oh! Is still doing pretty decent.
Yeah.
But that doesn't correlate to vintage collecting.
No, it doesn't cross-pollinate with other collectors, I don't think.
Yeah,
or it doesn't
I don't
help
so either.
Keep up like mainstream interest.
Yeah.
You know, like Pokemon, if the anime ended, you know, over a decade ago and there's no new video games... Would we see a decline in Pokemon? Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Like, as soon as it's not relevant to newer generations, no one cares anymore.
Pokemon did an amazing way of getting, like, making Pokemon insanely relevant without the TCG.
Yeah.
The TCG is an addition, and people play it, and you can collect it and stuff, but, like, you know, the Pokemon themselves are insanely relevant.
Yeah.
Nothing to do with the TCG.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, having it be a video game first was really what made it ubiquitous.
Yeah.
Because card games, I think, are more niche.
No, but, they just are in general. But
video games are just, like, so widespread. You know, I think Pokemon being a video game first really helps its case.
And I think that's why Magic is, like, not dying, but, you know, it's hard to introduce new collectors to Magic.
Yeah, I think it's... I don't know if it's exactly dying, but yeah, I get what you mean.
Yeah, dying's harsh.
But... Yeah, it is tough to keep it relevant.
Yes.
You know, because it's just a card game. But at the same time, it's a very popular card game, and the guys who love it, like, really love it.
Yes, I agree with that. And will
pay a lot of money for stuff.
I agree with that. It's lucky that they have deep pockets in that hobby.
Yeah.
Compared to frickin' Yu-Gi-Oh! And, you know, Digimon Dead 2. The cards are all dead there.
Yeah.
And Digimon. Now we have the One Piece coming up, which is insanely relevant right now.
It's weird, you know. I've talked to guys about, like, oh, you should buy this, like, rare One Piece card. Like, it's going
to
be...
Like, they're telling you to buy it?
Yeah. Like, you should invest in it. I'm like, all it takes is one reprint and you're screwed.
I know.
And they are already reprinting.
I know, and they are reprinting.
So, you know, I get the appeal of it being such a huge, popular franchise. But it was a manga. It was an anime. And just now, after 20 years or whatever, it's a card game. Like, I don't see that.
I agree 100% as to, like, who cares?
Yeah.
Like, who cares? It's not a card game. This isn't a card game.
To me, it's a manga and anime.
Yes.
That's all it is.
Yes. So if you want to collect something for One Piece, why would you choose the cards?
Yeah. I would much rather, you know, would buy a cell from the early season.
Yes.
A painted cell. Because it all went digital after. So only the first season has painted cells.
There you go.
Buy a nice cell.
And with the some price that some people are paying for these, like, early One Piece TCG prize cards, you can almost buy anything.
Yeah.
Like, these cards are five figures. And we're talking $10,000 to $50,000 for some of these prize cards. It's
completely speculation.
Yes. Rampant.
There's no... I mean, obviously, there is natural collectibility there being a limited...
There's organic interest in One Piece.
Yeah, for sure. Being a limited prize card. But, you know, I think you have... If the overall market doesn't make sense to you, I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. I don't want to gamble in something I just don't even, like, not that I don't agree with it. It just feels like something I don't need to.
Yeah.
I can just put that money to something I think will work better rather than just, like,
well, something you'd be, like, happy to own.
Yeah, well, that too, right?
Yeah.
Not sitting on a frickin' Luffy 1 of 50 and it's like, why did
hoping there will be 50 other buyers down the road to maintain serious interest in it.
Well, really though, it's 2024 and it feels like people are paying the 2035 price after it's been an established TCG for 10 years, after everyone decided they care. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay, we're buying these early prize cards. The trading card game has existed for what, 2 or 3 years?
Yeah.
Like, just let it breathe, you know, people.
I think the people who are winning at that are the ones who got in on the ground floor and are selling right now.
Me too.
But the guys
you bought five of them for $10,000 and you sold them for $30,000-$40,000. It's like, oh, great. Like, what more do you need to do? Nothing.
I think the guys in 5 to 10 years who didn't sell are probably going to regret it. But I don't know. What do I know?
No, I agree. It's all speculation at the end of the day. I mean, you see MetaZoo fully done. Like,
I don't even know what MetaZoo is.
You missed it. As hot as One Piece. One back in my day, Jeremy, people were buying MetaZoo cards.
You know what? As soon as I hear Meta, I think Facebook. And I'm like, that's immediately... unappealing to me.
Hey, that's the number one stock in my portfolio, pal.
You know, that's the reason MetaZoo failed is because they used Meta.
They had Meta there?
Yeah.
It's crazy because, you know, the MetaZoo pump, born out of speculation, really only appealed to collectors, speculators. There's very little organic TCG there that was being played, enjoyed, no nostalgia. You know, not to say One Piece is the same or Disney Lorcana is the same. These are obviously way stronger IPs. But a card game can just disappear after 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
Very easily.
Well, and there are so many from the 90s that just are completely gone and irrelevant. Guardians, Overpower.
Don't know it.
There's a reason.
Yeah, I mean, even with, like, modern other ones, like Wii Schwartz and Flesh and Blood and stuff are, like, pretty big card games that I know nothing about.
No.
So maintaining the relevance here that One Piece is pulling, I don't know how it can, to be completely honest.
Yeah.
In the next 3 years, I don't see how it could be bigger than it is right now. I just don't.
Yeah.
Not to say One Piece is going anywhere. We got live action series. Like, it's going to be humming along. I just don't see how the cards themselves.
One Piece as a property, for sure, is strong and relevant. But, you know, it just feels like a tack on. It's too late. If it was a card game 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, like, just in the last couple of years, no.
We have Dragon Ball Z cards. Why aren't people going after those?
Yeah.
Like, those are from 20 years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
No one cares. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
Not no one, but you know what I mean? It's not like...
It's not ubiquitous.
Yeah. People aren't hounding to buy old sets or old booster boxes of DBZ cards.
Yeah. Is it actually TCGs or just collector cards?
Great question.
Great question. Something we'll Google later.
I think there was a game associated with it. I think there are little power levels and stuff, but like nothing compared to what the new Dragon Ball TCG is.
Yeah. And it's funny, you know, that's like, I have the same sentiments about that as like sports cards. Like, zero appeal to me because they're just made as collectibles.
Yeah, no, I agree.
And anything like that is usually trash. But I mean, obviously they're very popular and make a lot of money, but never appealed to me.
Yeah, if I was going to do sports, I would go backwards. Like, I would want to buy 60s cards.
Yeah.
Maybe 70s, but like, I have no interest in buying the new Victor Wembanyama 1 out of 10 exquisite collection.
It's like
I don't care.
It's like rare variant comics, you know, you have 50 covers made for a single issue and you're like, God, is that
It is what it is.
Yeah.
Like, Wembanyama is going to have 300 different rookie cards. There's going to be 6 that matter. And like, you know, that's that.
And then you have to guess which ones
12 different companies print their things. 1 out of 50, 1 out of 20. It's, I don't know.
Yeah.
Apparently the one that really matters, I don't know if they're calling it a $1 million card, $100,000 card, but they graded it through AGS, which is one of the robo graders. They use AI fully. Mm. So they put the rookie card through there and it got a 9.5 and it was a big deal. I don't know if it's just a commercial for AGS. Here I am talking about it. I guess it won. So you know what I mean though? So that's
your check is in the mail.
Yeah, literally. That's the rookie card that matters, I guess. That one. I just don't know.
Yeah, it's very
doesn't appeal to me.
Artificial, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it just feels you're chasing whatever the company tells you to chase after. And as soon as you chase after the 2024 and then it's like, oh, here's what you gotta care about this year.
Yeah.
And it's like, man. Yeah. I don't know.
Don't tell me what to do.
The company has too much power is what it kills me about.
Yeah.
It just, there's no, like when you get into more organic stuff and the community, deciding what is and isn't valuable, it just feels like you guys control it. Like, I don't know. It just feels a lot better than just, oh, here's the new one of one. Good luck.
See you in 20 years when it's worth nothing.
But hopefully it's better than the one we make in 5 years.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
It just doesn't feel fun.
Yeah.
I guess that's
sucking
the
life out of it.
Yeah. Just, yeah.
Yeah.
Doesn't feel fun.
Corporate profit.
Do you have questions?
Yeah, let's do one.
Head over to the mail time here. If you guys are in the Discord, make sure to ask a question you want answered. If you're watching the YouTube, leave them down below.
Let's see if I have something semi-related to what we're talking about.
I don't know if I do. Yeah. We got shilling or cards? Two kind of big topics there. Jeremy shilling his own cards.
Okay, this, I don't have anything related, but let's do this one.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so this is from Qually.
Okay.
Podcast question. What are your thoughts on collectors like Tim Stamper, the Rare co-founder, flexing an undumped Ocarina of Time Space World 97 and 64 card among other prototypes? Is he even allowed to auction them off? Do you think they'd be dumped if he were to?
Whoa, what? Okay, walk me through this a little bit here. Who's this guy? Tim
Stamper. He was the co-founder of Rare Games.
Really?
Yeah.
So okay.
He has a collection of like Rare prototypes and stuff like that.
Wow.
Yeah.
And what's the basis of the question? I had to like put
what do
it
you,
together.
What do you think of him flexing these Rare prototypes, and is he allowed to auction them off? I mean, obviously they're just an item. Like,
yeah, I don't think Nintendo has any actual care at this point.
No, if you're not reproducing and selling it.
Yeah, exactly.
Then I don't think there's any legal claim to it.
Yeah, I think it's way past any kind of I don't even know if there was to begin with, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't, you know what, I don't even know how that kind of,
because I don't think it would expire if there is a legal ownership claim. I think it'd be like, oh, like you still have to give it to us. Maybe they can if they enact it or something. I don't know.
Yeah, that's tough to say. Like, I'm sure it's a very legally ambiguous thing around prototypes.
Yeah.
It's not that way about art, because it's the copyright of the image is different from the actual painting itself, right? Like, you can own the painting, but you can't own the copyright.
Okay, that makes sense.
But with prototypes, you have copyrighted data that can be extracted and reproduced. Yeah, I mean, I guess you can do that with a painting, too. You could photocopy it. You could. I don't know.
Because I don't think there's any issue with dumping them, either.
No.
Like, I think you just go dump it. I don't know if you can redistribute the data. I don't know. Probably.
Because, yeah. I mean, like, the Video Game History Foundation.
Yeah, they literally dump prototypes and make them available, do they not? Or are they not available, like, just dumped?
Yeah, they're just dumped, like, for preservation purposes.
But not widely available.
No, I don't
think so. Interesting, okay.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what it is, then. You can preserve it, but you can't distribute it.
Hmm.
But you can probably buy and sell the item.
Yeah. Yeah, like, the item has its own kind of unique... I don't know, it's very gray. It seems very gray to me.
I agree. Yeah, I get my head, I'm like, yeah, of course, sell it. But, like, I don't know what the actual... I don't think Nintendo would do anything.
I don't think anything would happen. Yeah.
Because we had the Nintendo PlayStation sell. Surely they could just take claim to that, no? It has to be theirs.
Yeah, like, theoretically.
I would think so. It's, like, the most prolific prototype sale I think we've ever had.
Yeah.
Between Nintendo or Sony, one of them surely could take ownership and be like, oh, well, actually, in our legal stipulations, I would think.
Yeah.
I don't know if they ever would, though. Like, I feel very, very doubtful. They never care to.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah.
30 years after the fact.
They're more concerned, I think, with keeping up copyrights now.
Like, yeah, exactly. Actual IP law and, like, making sure stuff doesn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shutting down anyone's homebrew or ROM hack. That's,
that's right.
Right? Like, that's their big concern these days.
Yeah, for sure.
Making sure Smash Bros. Doesn't have a tournament. Like, it's weird, man.
Yeah.
Nintendo's weird.
Yeah. It's weird because they had one tournament at 01. And that was kind of it, really. It's just the Smash Ultimate inaugural thing, I guess, that they had.
Yeah, well, they were doing the world tour and stuff, and that all got shut down.
Yeah, I think they shut it down because of all the crazy controversy that was happening with all these Smash players, like underage stuff going on.
Yeah, it got real weird real quick in the...
I mean, surprise, surprise, but...
it's a shame, because I love, like, speedrunning and these competitive gaming stuff, and it's like, man, those communities are...
Yeah.
There's interesting fellows in those communities.
To say the least.
Yes. Yeah, you get into a different type of breed, man.
Yeah.
It just seems like they're always plagued with just bad people.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, it's... shock, surprise when you have underage kids at tournaments with no supervision. What do you think is going to happen?
This is also very true.
Yeah. So, you know, there's, I think, blame to go around on that front. That's just... It's like, if you're under 18, you gotta have a chaperone.
Oh, really, though?
You're like sending your, like, 16 year old to go to a turn 15 year old.
Yeah, sometimes. I was gonna say 14.
Like, 14,
yeah,
on their own. Like, that's crazy. I mean, no kid is responsible enough to
well, yeah, you just don't even, you're too dumb. You're just, like, too dumb.
Well, you're just a kid.
Yeah.
Your brain is still mush at that point.
Pretty much. But, yes. Yeah. Is there another one? Is
that yeah, let's try
one. Do one more here. Yeah, I think you can sell those. I think it's amazing he has them. I'd love to see them get auctioned. Yeah.
Oh, man. These are long. Jesus.
Okay, shortest
one here is by Pixel Gamer.
Okay.
And it's maybe it has been discussed. I would be interested to hear how this Discord got started and the founders met.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I'm interested too.
There we go. The Discord is mine. Like, I am the founder of it. No one, like, he says, like, how the founders met. Like, it's just me.
Mods after.
Yeah, mods didn't get introduced until, I'd say, 5 or 6 months after the fact. It was just me. Because, I mean, I don't have a huge community. I think even now the Discord has 1,300 members or so, which is pretty crazy. Like, that's, you know, I think it's great.
Mm-hmm.
But when I first made it, you know, there was 20, 50, 100 of us. And in a way to... So one of the roles you can have in the Discord is called founder. That might be what he means.
Maybe.
So how did the founders meet? Founder was given to anyone who joined the Discord, I think, in the first 6 months of it being active.
Okay.
So there's
probably like 50 founders or something?
Maybe 100, maybe 200 total of the accounts that we'll have. Because I'm a collector by heart, man. So you got to give it, like, you know, you got to
this account's rare.
You're gonna... you got a founder account, baby.
Yeah. Sell that on the secondary market.
It's funny that it just, like, that's how my brain works. But I was like, oh, I'll give these people, like, something on the account where it will not be replicated.
Yeah.
Like, I won't give anyone else a founder now. You had to be here in the first 6 months. And if in 10 years, SAC becomes this Discord that people care about, hey, got some early founder accounts to go around.
Yeah.
So, but no, I wanted to create a community. Community. Oh, yeah, community. Yeah, for the good, for the good.
For the good of the community.
Oh, God. It's hilarious. Yes, I did, though. I did want to create a community because I was huge on Nintendo Age, and I missed what Nintendo Age was.
Yeah.
A more collector-centric, like, gaming is fine. We talk about gaming in this Discord, but, like, collector-focused first and foremost is what I wanted. And I didn't have a place for that, really. So I was like, oh, man, my whole channel is collector finance based and everything. So let's make a Discord where collectibles, finance, I want to bring in people who have, you know, anywhere from you're worth $1,000, you're worth $1 million. Like, I want a place where people can just talk about money, collectibles, investing, whatever it is, without, like, you know, once you go to Reddit or any other game collecting thing, it's like, okay, I can afford stuff that's worth thousands of dollars. You're like a bad person. You're alienated, isolated.
Right. Reddit is not exactly a serious community in that regard.
Not exactly.
For collectors, yeah.
No, it's more like I went to a garage sale and scored these things and, like, you know.
You're a dirty flipper.
Yeah, people celebrate that and that's great. Or, you know, you bought your white whale grail and it's like a complete in box Ocarina of Time.
Yeah.
And that's awesome.
Yeah.
But, you know, 15 years of collecting, I'm just at a higher level. I want to talk to people about rarer things more. You know, and if people come into the Discord too talking about that, that's awesome. That's fine. It's just not an alienation of the higher end of the market as well.
Yeah.
And that's what Nintendo Age was before, where I was learning about stadium events, Nintendo World Championships. People were buying and selling gold cartridges. It was like, what is going on here?
Yeah. And, you know, I think the taking down of Nintendo Age was the worst thing that could have happened for game collectors.
I think it set the hobby back a lot.
I think it put it back a decade, honestly, in terms of knowledge.
Yes. It just got wiped.
Yeah. And video game sages. I mean, obviously, there's people on there and it's active, but.
Yeah. It's not the same.
It's not the same.
It lost,
Nintendo Age should have been sold to someone that would keep it up.
I mean, I always heard that Dane said or was not aware it was going to be scorched earth after the sale. Who knows what he did or didn't know? Who knows what it's is or wasn't say. Said?
I mean, who bought it again? Was it Doug?
It was Jeff with GoCollect.
Yeah, part of me thinks that if you're selling it to a company like that, they're just going to eliminate the competition.
I mean, yeah, they siphoned the data. That was what it was.
Yeah, and did what with it?
A lot of games. Jeff had a connection with that, so if they wanted all the information for variant information, for whatever, to take it offline, to keep, like, you know what I mean? One big inside job. All of a sudden, you have all the information. You took down the board that can have the most information.
Yeah, it's tough.
You solidify yourselves as experts because you have the information.
Yeah. But no one else has access.
And no one else has access.
Yeah.
So I don't know what he did or didn't know. Funny enough, like, just random on Reddit the other day, a guy who was like, he said he was good friends with the number two on Nintendo Age.
Mm.
And he said that the number two, who are you number two? Who does number two work for? he was saying that he, like, the second in command at Nintendo Age didn't even find out about the sale until it went public.
Mm.
So Dane, the owner, had gone very private and, who knows what Dane really knew, because he wasn't talking to it about anyone.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I said
other
that backwards.
Yes, we know what you mean.
Yeah. So who knew if that was going to be torn down or what, but that's why I wanted to start this Discord SAC, was to try my best to emulate the feel that I had at Nintendo Age.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I think so far it's pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm happy with it.
Yeah. It's tough because, like, you know, forum formats are so easily searchable and referenced.
Yeah.
And I also feel like toxicity gets curbed a little more on forums because replies aren't instantaneous and people can't just, like, go off on tangents back and forth.
I agree.
Immediately.
No, I agree.
So I think forums are better suited to, like, more serious ends of collecting, but, you know.
The forums are also a dead format.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it just is.
It's like, what can you do?
Right? Like, everyone, you know, right now, if you want to get into collecting or something, your best bet is to go to Reddit, join that, which is, you know, a forum, or you go to Facebook groups, basically.
Yeah.
That's the best you can do.
Yeah, I think Facebook group is probably what kind of replaced forums.
Yeah.
For a lot.
And they're fine. Like, they're not bad.
No.
Yeah, I still use them.
Yeah.
The Discord just serves as a more fluent chat board.
Yeah.
And Facebook groups serve as a more concrete one.
Yeah. Yeah, I see.
Both have their purpose.
Yeah, for sure.
Both have their purpose. But on that note, hit the like button if you're watching on YouTube. Review the podcast if you're listening to audio. Appreciate you guys tuning in this week, and I'll see you guys next week. Bye.